B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
We have a poo-poo platter of topics this week on Wrestling Inside the Ropes. We will share our feelings on the current state of wrestling. Viceland did a documentary on the Montreal Screwjob. Goldust Dustin Rhodes asked for a release and is now facing Cody at Double or Nothing. Did CM Punk come back? Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. I know that the Money in the Bank card is kind of coming together, but I wanted to kind of start with a simple question. What's your excitement level or your misery level about pro wrestling right now?
Well, you know, the misery, I'm not like upset at anything. It just, I don't think I'm really into it right now. And, you know, this happens every year around this time after WrestleMania. Here we are, less than a little over 2 weeks out. And, you know, someone, I went to the barber the other day. I was at the barbershop and, you know, he's a big fan, him and his son. I had not seen him since before WrestleMania. I said, what do you think of WrestleMania? He said, it was good, but it was really long. And he made the comment to me like that he said straight out that we're done right now. We're taking a break. And I was like, really? He said, yeah, it's just like, I'm not into it. I don't like the superstar change. I don't like the shakeup, rather. I can't really get invested with anybody. It's just a bad product right now. So it made me think, like, he might be onto something here, because I think that, you know what, there is no off season in professional wrestling. We know that. However, Jimmy, someone even commented on the Twitter page at WrestleCast95 on that there should be an off season right now. After the Super Bowl, you want a little time off from football. Now I'm getting a little more hungry with the NFL draft this week. After the World Series, you want a little time off. And then you get a little hungry with hot stove baseball. After WrestleMania, maybe it's best, what would be best for business, take a little time off, bring it back within a matter of, say, a month. But I think there's so much talent out there right now. There's so many storylines that have changed. So it's, you know, the changing of the guard a little bit. So you have to kind of get used to it. Am I invested right now as I was a month ago? No. But am I still watching? Of course. I'm not 100% emotional as I was before WrestleMania. So I think that's a problem for the way you and I were talking about this last week with the superstars. There might be, I don't know, there's not real.
I think the word you're looking for, Mike, is overexposed.
Yes, I think, there's no pizzazz.
I think that there's the larger example is WrestleMania, where it's a 7-hour show, right? Mm-hmm. So that's too much. You have 3 hours of Raw. You have 2 hours of SmackDown. You have a 4 or 5 hour pay-per-view now every so often. I think that there's an overexposure factor, as opposed to with NXT, you have 1 hour a week. It builds towards a 5-match show that is done in generally 3 hours. And I think that's a format that the fans, we were at NXT in New York, Brooklyn. Yep. It was really Brooklyn, but they said New York. And that crowd was excited for everything. And I think that's because it was a clean-cut, focused show. Yep. But keep in mind also that they being the NXT creators, are going towards the hardcore audience. They're going towards a smaller audience.
Right.
And I think that the WWE, and specifically Vince McMahon, is going for the random person with the clicker who stops and goes, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And that's who they're, because they have the hardcores, although they're losing the hardcores.
Yeah.
Or the hardcores are only coming around for the big events, Money in the Bank, Rumble, Mania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and the secondary ones, unless they're coming to your hometown, you don't care. And sometimes even when they come to your town, you don't care either.
Did you call it SummerSlam?
Yes, I called it SummerSlam.
Why?
Chris Jericho called it that in 1999. It's an ode to him.
Oh, I don't remember that. Okay.
Huh. Yeah, when Jericho debuted...
with The Rock.
With The Rock, and then he did something with The Undertaker, and I think his promo with the Road Dogg at SummerSlam that year, he called it SummerSlam.
Oh, I don't remember that. Okay. Huh. Nice.
It was in that area code.
It's cool.
So what I think it is you have characters who are exposed. Like, for example, we miss John Cena now more than ever.
Yeah.
Because we're not getting him every week.
Right.
The Undertaker gets the reaction that he gets because we see him once a year, maybe twice a year. We'll probably see him in Saudi Arabia on pay-per-view or on the network.
Yep.
So there is something for the theory that the more distant you are from something, the fonder you become of it, or whatever the cliche actually is.
Right.
So as far as an off-season, they can't do off-seasons. But what they can do is kind of what they're doing with Becky Lynch, and that is Lacey Evans is her first challenger for the Raw Women's Championship. But the problem with that is Becky essentially has been like, oh, this is Charlotte 2.0. And because it's a prototype and it's not necessarily somebody who the fans want to see challenge Becky, it's somebody who Vince wants to see challenge Becky. That's what they're going with, which has a whole nother repercussion to Charlotte, who seems to be in the crossfires of everybody today or yesterday or this week.
Yeah, what's up with that?
It's easy. It's because Fox made a request to have more of an international presence, so they moved Andrade back to SmackDown.
Oh, makes sense.
So they have to move... I can't think of his manager's name right now. But they have
Andrade?
Yes, I can't think of...
Viega. What is her name?
People are yelling in their car right now.
I know. Here, I'm going to get it right now.
But what they have to do is they have to move her to...
Zelina Vega.
Yes. They have to move her as well. And in turn, they have to move Aleister Black from Raw to SmackDown because they are married.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So what happened was everybody, and this included text messages to me, like, oh, look at Charlotte pulling a power play.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that people are starting to really believe that Charlotte is politicking to get into these matches,
which I don't agree with.
Just because Vince McMahon comes out on TV and says Charlotte is in the main event of WrestleMania doesn't actually mean that there was a politic involved in it.
No, that's not true.
So now that Charlotte is fighting Becky Lynch at Money in the Bank as part of a second title fight, people are like, oh, there goes Charlotte again. Look at Charlotte maneuvering her political power.
Right.
But here's what I will tell you, and this is actually going to be an answer to a question that Danielle on Twitter had asked me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, why is Charlotte Flair in these spots all the time? One, because she's really good, right? That's first and foremost.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really, we're talking about Charlotte Flair, who is probably going to go down as one of the best female athletes to ever compete. And that is, you know, my bias aside, looking at it from 1,000 feet, like you've got a handful of women who are in this greatest of all time.
It's a fact.
And she's also one of the few women who is over right now.
Yep.
And please disagree with me or add a name if I'm missing somebody. But there are three women who are over right now, because I throw Ronda out because Ronda might be done. Ronda Rousey might be done altogether. We'll see.
Well, we'll see about that.
It's Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, and Asuka is over with the hardcore fan base, but they have now put her in a tag team. So after those three, there's a major drop-off.
Yeah.
So you have that next tier, which is Carmella. She was the women's champion last year. That didn't work out so well, even though on a resume, it looked great.
Mm-hmm.
Beats Charlotte Flair twice, beats Asuka twice, and then loses at SummerSlam. She had a really good resume-filled summer, but she didn't connect with anybody.
Right.
Alexa Bliss seems to be on a pitch count.
Well, she's also hurt.
That's what I mean. So, she did the Rumble.
Yeah.
Or they're saving her for a big program, or there's issues with Alexa Bliss. So you can't go to her.
Nope.
You have Bayley, right? Yeah. How's Bayley's career looking the last year or so?
They have like really spiraled downhill.
And before that, she had a run with the championship. She had a run with one of the women's championships, and it was she beat Charlotte's pay-per-view streak, and yep. then she won a four-way on WrestleMania, and then she lost it.
Correct.
Because she wasn't drawing. Because right. Vince McMahon didn't understand the character that was so successful in NXT.
Right.
And then you move to Natalya Neidhart. Her run after she beat Naomi at that SummerSlam didn't go so well. She did an appearance at Fenway Park, due respect to Natty, which means I don't really respect her. It didn't draw. Her title run didn't draw, and they had to flip the belt back to Charlotte to have Charlotte versus whoever at Survivor Series that year.
Was it Sasha Banks?
It wasn't Sasha. It would have been Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss, okay.
Because Bliss was the SmackDown, and Charlotte was the... I'm sorry. Bliss was the Raw, and Charlotte was the SmackDown.
Yeah, right.
So then you move to Naomi. Naomi, who recently complained on Twitter... She was upset because she wasn't really given a chance. I don't know. She won the women's title in Orlando, her hometown, as a semi-main event on WrestleMania 33.
With the neon title after that.
Had a summer run with a custom-made championship. Mm-hmm. She won the WrestleMania Battle Royal in New Orleans. And you know what happened? The crowd didn't care. Or they didn't care to the extent where they were buying merchandise and buying this and doing this.
Didn't work.
So now you have, I think WWE has major plans for Mandy Rose, but the names that I've mentioned have had runs already. Yeah. And, you know, Bliss aside, because she's under, I think, special circumstances because she's hurt, she's limited, whatever.
Right.
So you have all these, I'm going to use a stronger term than I intend to, you have all these failures.
Well,
so now,
essentially, you're right.
WWE has to go back to what it knows, and what it knows is Charlotte. In the same way that when the Ultimate Warrior didn't draw, the title went back to Hulk Hogan. When right. Sting didn't draw, the title went back to Ric Flair. This right. is just how it goes. You go right. with what you know and what's been a proven draw. And if fans really want Charlotte out of this title picture, when she hits the ring, you know what you do, Mike? You go to the merchandise stand. You go buy somebody else's shirt. Or you just stay seated and you have your head down buried in your phone, which is what most people do at sporting events now. So why even bother going? But it's pretty simple. Fan money reaction got Becky Lynch to the main event of WrestleMania. It got Kofi Kingston to the WWE Championship. So your voice and your wallet matter to them to a certain degree.
Yeah. No, it's true. And right now, those all excellent points there. And the other thing
Thank
with
you.
No, they were good. Yeah. And with Charlotte, too. You know, like you said, she's the safety net for what they know they can do, how she can work with Becky and, you know, to draw and so forth and have a good match out there. But I don't know, maybe just the whole Lacey Evans experiment at first, it like you're going to throw her right there with Becky. You know, the only other one I could think of besides Charlotte, maybe Bayley. That's the only other one I could think of. Or... But, you know, the ship has sailed now that Asuka is with the tag team division. Throw her out there and, you know, say that I got screwed losing before WrestleMania. I want a shot at the championship after that. So, you know, that's the only other avenue I can think of. But, yes, this is the safety net for Money in the Bank when you have two of the three that were in the main event at WrestleMania. Becky and Charlotte both were there. So you know it's going to be a draw. It's going to be a good match.
Mike, the play for them is they figure out how to get Sasha Banks back in the fold. They have her win Money in the Bank, and then they do a program with Sasha and Becky.
Sure.
Because it's something we haven't seen on the main roster. But I don't think that Sasha is in anybody's plans. I think, you know, there was a report that Sasha is going to wait out her contract.
And this may have been the end of her career, as we discussed last week.
Right. And we did a lot of time on that. I want to answer...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at backstagecountry.com.
Answer my own question.
Let's hear it.
I'm optimistic about where pro wrestling is going.
You
there,
are?
There are certain details that annoy me. Mm-hmm. The Bray Wyatt thing, I didn't kind of understand. But I liked WrestleMania. I'm excited for Money in the Bank and the matchups that we're getting there. I'm excited for All Elite Wrestling. That's they're doing a pay-per-view called Double or Nothing. Mm-hmm. I feel generally good about the product.
Yeah.
And kind of the genesis for me asking this question is there was a report about WWE's viewership being down, their departures from watching, and the number is close to 1 million people.
Down?
Down from this time last year.
Wow. Okay.
And I think that they can fall into three categories. One is people don't like the product. Mm-hmm. People have cut the cord on cable, which is a big one.
Very fair assessment.
And the wrestling demographics are the oldest that it's ever been. And fans are kind of dying off.
Yeah.
And this all comes from, like, we were both in New York. We both did different things in New York. Yep. You were at WrestleCon. I was at Access. Mm-hmm. The biggest observation that I made while I was at WWE Access and at these different shows was how it was dominated by adults. And it was dominated by adults without kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People I were sitting next to, in fact, it was a couple, just wrestling fans, and originally from Canada, they now live in New Jersey, and no kids, but they're in their 30s and just big wrestling fans, male and female. Someone else on the way to WrestleMania, on the bus with them, from Boston. Shout out to Dom, who listens to this podcast, our podcast every week. Dom, thank you. He noticed us, and he was with his girlfriend, I think maybe soon to be fiance too. You know, they were both there. So a lot of adults, a lot of couples too, not with kids. So big weekend for them to get away if they did have kids. Big weekend to enjoy themselves, to turn everything off. I heard last week on the New Age Insider, shout out to them. We're fans of them and their work. But they read a quote from Sean Gorman, formerly of Chaotic Wrestling, the manager.
Yep,
did you
hear
that?
I did hear it.
And, you know, just to touch on that, but not word for word, he realized the problem. He observed the problem with WrestleMania, why he was not so invested with it. You don't know who to root for. You don't know if they're good guys or bad guys. Just seemed a little out of touch for the fans, I think. That's what I got out of it, more or less.
Well, and one thing, too, that I think relating to that is how the broadcast is now more about, hey, this is trending on Twitter, or hey, this is coming up, instead of telling you why you should or shouldn't like good guys or bad guys.
Yep.
We've talked about this in great detail, is how Mauro Ranallo is the fan
announcer. I'm so glad you said that. Yep.
And how Michael Cole and Adam Kaufman Jr. are kind of the we're the news reporter. We're above being fans of broadcaster.
It's boring.
And you know, Corey Graves is great on everything, but Corey Graves shouldn't be doing two shows because there are people who are annoyed with Corey Graves because he's overexposed, but they don't trust anybody else in that spot.
Yeah, he's funny. He's funny, though. He's a great heel announcer. I think Todd Phillips, I think I'll say it straight out, I think he sucks. Michael Cole, talented guy. But he's someone that would be great to report on a upcoming match.
And the thing about this, Mike, is
not play by play.
Vince McMahon, this is what Vince McMahon wants from his announcers.
It's not good.
That's why Mauro isn't on SmackDown anymore.
And that's why Jim Ross is no longer with the company anymore.
Well, I think they essentially signed Jim Ross to a 3-year contract so he could do The Undertaker's last match.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, and he just ran out.
And now he's going to be with All Elite Wrestling as an advisor. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw him do play-by-play.
Without question.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of in the cards. He's older, and he still wants to do it. So
yeah, he's earned it. He's the Al Michaels of pro wrestling.
getting back to my point about being optimistic about wrestling right now. And again, it's not perfect, but there's a lot of good. And I think we live in an era where we can find what we want and support what we want. WWE isn't going out of business anytime soon.
No.
AEW has the money of an NFL old owner, so they should have a good 5-year run. Ring of Honor, New Japan, and Impact Wrestling are all healthy companies.
Mm.
So if we're not fans of the WWE product, we can go somewhere else and support the product that we want. I know people who only watch Ring of Honor and New Japan. Yep. I know people who are very excited for All Elite Wrestling, and they're trying to figure out where they're going to land.
And I'm sure you know people just like myself that specifically watch NXT. That's it.
Right.
Nothing.
There are people who pay $10 a month to watch NXT.
Yep.
And
nothing else.
But that's what they choose to do. And there's enough wrestling out there for everybody. So you don't have to sit in front of your television Monday night and hate watch Raw.
Right.
Because this is a weird thing. So the shakeup happened and Raw got so much more talent, yet on many of the fan polls that I saw, SmackDown was declared the winner.
Yeah.
And I think that is because a lot of fans have decided that they hate Raw and they're going to nitpick Raw, and they go into it preconditioned. And they like SmackDown because, well, SmackDown is the 2-hour wrestling show that I like.
Yep.
And you can't, we all have our biases, but we can't go into a show and just go there to hate it. Like,
right.
You know, Raw isn't going to be back to the Boston area until November.
Right.
If I go into it with, like, oh, I'm going to hate this, then why do I go?
Right. Right. You got to have a more open mind. You got to appreciate it. And if you're going to hate it, you're going to specifically be bored out of your mind at the show.
Right. So you go there and you go and you be a fan of the product and
take it all in.
Yeah. And you don't have to be there for every match, but I treat my wrestlers like sports teams. So I'm excited that Kevin Owens turned on Kofi Kingston, and he's probably going to be challenging. True. And I love Kevin Owens. I love Charlotte Flair. I love Matt Taven. I love this wrestler, that wrestler. And that's what I go there. I go there to support my wrestlers, whether I'm told to boo them or cheer them. That is my choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what they do. That is, they take how, if you're reacting to a wrestler as a good sign, it doesn't matter on the good or bad side because it's areas of gray. But if you don't like Charlotte Flair in the main event, if you don't like Lacey Evans in a championship match, if you don't like Roman Reigns in a championship match or an important match, get up from your seat and go get a beer.
Yeah.
Or
buy the opposing opponent t-shirt.
Or when he gets on your TV, you change the channel. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Because that's how they judge, with a handful of exceptions here or there, but that's how they judge.
To get the voice out there and for the rating aspect. You know, it's funny, like, you know, going back to my point, I'm not upset, but I'm not super invested right now because I just think the new storylines, I've got to, you know, let it play out for a couple of weeks. It's still very fresh here since the superstar shakeup. Sure. Am I very curious to see what's going to happen here with Kofi Kingston after WrestleMania? I think that when Biggie Langston gets back at some point, he's going to turn and he's going to go right after Kofi Kingston. You'll see the end of the New Day and you'll see him go individual. You know, there's so much stuff that's happening here with Becky Two Belts. You know, maybe she holds on to both belts there because they're selling t-shirts, Becky Two Belts, or she just, I don't know, loses one of them to Charlotte. And then the Seth Rollins situation too, him and AJ Styles, which I thought that would be in the summer. They're very early to bring this on, AJ Styles and Seth Rollins. So
which makes me think about match placement, but that's for a Money in the Bank preview show.
Well, however,
I have developing opinions on that, which I've shared with you off the air.
Right, but to your point, though, with the Charlotte scenario going in there to one-on-one with Becky Lynch, again, safety net, AJ Styles and Seth Rollins, you know they can work together. You know you're going to have a good match out there. So I think that was the best scenario. Although I could see like Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins maybe, but they just wanted AJ Styles and Seth Rollins because they know those are your top two guys right now.
Well, and I think that's a fan reaction thing. But what worries me about that match, and what the hell, is match placement on Money in the Bank, right?
Yep.
So if that thing goes on first, you're going to get a finish.
Of course you are.
If that thing goes on last, you've got a briefcase looming, and you're not going to get a finish. That's and you're going to get a run-in from Drew McIntyre or Baron Corbin or somebody who fans legitimately hate and don't want them involved in the match.
Yep. Yep.
One thing that they have to do with Seth and AJ is they have to turn one of them.
Yeah, like now.
Because otherwise you're going to get a situation with AJ and Nakamura where we're all fans and we're all spectators.
Right.
And we're not sure who to root for, or who to cheer for. So you have to do something with them. And by the way, I'm kind of here for evil AJ and the club.
I'm all for that. And then the other thing, too, is that if you do get both of them face-to-face, well, on the face scenario there, you're invested into them so much, your hopes are up, and if they don't put on a good match, then it's a letdown again.
Which is what happened with AJ and Nakamura. 34.
Yep, exactly.
Which is unfortunate because that should have been a better match. But sometimes you get Finn Balor and AJ Styles and everybody loves it.
Right. So, hey, let's see what happens. Let's say you got to let it play out. Don't be so down on it right now. Although, am I not invested? Like I said, no, and maybe you're not either. To other people listening out here, but
oh, I'm invested. I'm here for it. I think there's so much. The power of positivity, Mike. The power of positivity.
Oh, of course. To the listeners that may not be, you got to give it a chance.
To quote somebody else's intro, I watch wrestling to enjoy it. That, of course, is a shout out to our friends at the New Age Insiders, who you should go listen to their podcast after you've listened to our podcast.
Bill Liam and what's his face? Why am I blanking?
Jason,
thank you. Good Lord. Brain freeze.
It happens. Like, I forgot who Andrade's manager was.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Dustin Rhodes, who asked for and was granted his release from WWE. Of course, in WWE circles, you know Dustin Rhodes is Goldust. Dustin will face Cody at Double or Nothing. I think it's Saturday, May 25th on pay-per-view. Mike, are you going to Vegas for this?
You know, Jimmy, it was in the cards. It's looking like a 80-20 no right now.
Okay.
Up about a month ago, it was 60-40 no. But it's gone down progressively, 80-20 no. And I mean,
Conrad couldn't get you tickets?
I didn't ask. I'm not going to do that.
Doot.
Although I did hear about that. If you buy the Fight TV, you have the VIP entry and all that stuff.
I think that expired at midnight.
It did. I know. And I'm bummed about that. I forgot to do it. So I have not ruled it out yet 100%. But as of now, it doesn't look good.
So Dustin Rhodes is another wrestler who asked for a release, WWE granted it. And it goes to this whole thing that we talked about last week about how many people want out of WWE. But we did that last week.
Right.
I want to circle back a little bit to Goldust, specifically focus on him for a second. What an interesting and different character he was. That character in its first run was really a little early on the Attitude Era. It was kind of the teaser for the Attitude Era. And I remember being in high school at the time and watching, like, why don't they just let him be Dustin Rhodes? Like, he's a talented performer.
Sure.
And you could make a case that Goldust, the character, should have had a run with the WWE Championship. And maybe not a long run, yeah, but a summer run.
Cup of coffee with it.
But Goldust in that WWE era, that 96, 97 era, was really an impactful character that people remember. Had good matches, was in important stories, had audience reaction, and then it transitioned to where it transitioned to. And Dustin Rhodes as Goldust had a really strong, 20-year career as that character, 25 years?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, in the late 90s, he went into that phase
drag
where,
thing with Luna.
Right, and then he was the reborn, you know, kind of.
Yeah,
like,
that lasted like one show in Lowell.
It was bizarre, though. It was weird. It's, I don't know.
That was his old character.
Yeah, it didn't work after, from what you saw from Goldust, so.
But he was still a great worker, and he had that crowd, and he knew how to do it, and it was different from what his dad was, but still had the same attributes that his dad did.
Well, look at the costume, and then the theme song too. Like that was a great, you know, Hollywood productions. Didn't he have Marlena?
All Jim Johnston.
Yeah, and Marlena with you too, and that brought us the debut of China eventually when she attacked Marlena. But you know, he had a spot with the Undertaker. He had some good spots.
Good run there with Razor Ramon, had the backlot brawl with Rowdy Piper, was really one of the premier stars in that era.
Yep.
And this is it probably won't be his last match against Cody, but it might be one of the last matches that we see. And good for him for getting out if that's what he wanted to do and have his last match with Cody, if it is his last match or his last run.
Sure.
And hopefully that lives up to the standard that it should live up to.
Yeah, and the new face paint with the black and the red, and you know, talking about that and how he thinks that Cody was born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
He was.
Yeah, no, but they're building it up. It's a good build. I like it.
Yeah, it's brothers draw money. I know Vince McMahon thinks that brothers never fight, but brothers, I'm told that's all brothers do is fight. So
it works. Yeah, I have two of them. So we had some bouts over the years ourselves. But you know, it just, I think he had a good run in the WWE. I think eventually he will be a Hall of Famer down the line. Might take a little longer now that he's going to AEW for that match with his brother. But you know what? I forgot that Dustin Rhodes / Goldust was still under contract until he wrote that note or saying farewell, I'm done. You know, I know he had some sporadic spots over the last couple of years, but it's not the same character that we saw. And do I think he deserved a championship, more championships over his career? Sure. He definitely earned it. Maybe he's kind of the character that didn't need it. But still a very unique character for WWE, definitely ahead of the Attitude Era too.
WWE has over 250 wrestlers under contract right now.
Wow.
It's the most that they've had ever.
That's loaded.
Yeah, well, they have three brands domestically, and they have more international brands. But speaking of international, the Montreal Screwjob was the subject of a Viceland documentary. Vince McMahon, Bret Hart, Montreal Screwjob. This is 97. I did see that one.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
As somebody who's done a lot of research and watched a lot of stuff on Montreal, I didn't learn anything new other than Brett claimed his story's been consistent, but sadly it hasn't.
Yeah.
The biggest issue with Brett's story in this documentary is when did he actually pull Earl Hebner to the side?
Right.
Was it on a flight? In previous documentaries and interviews, he said it was the day of the show.
Right.
So that's one that jumped out at me. The other thing was, if I remember Wrestling with Shadows correctly, he said at the time it was a 30-day creative control, and that has now expanded to a 60-day creative control.
Mm-hmm.
So the story isn't exactly the same as it once was. And keep in mind, I'm a Bret Hart guy.
Yeah.
So what were your impressions of this documentary, Mike, and overall the Montreal Screwjob?
So, I mean, I'll start with the documentary. I thought a lot of it too was Jim Cornette and Vince Russo.
Yes.
And right, you know, and at the end, Cornette, sorry to spoil it if you haven't seen it yet, but definitely check it out on Viceland if you haven't. You know, Cornette saying, "I'll find a way to piss on Russo's grave." There's some real hate there. There's heat. And I didn't realize that Russo, you know, claims to have been the birth child of the idea for the Montreal Screwjob. I didn't realize that whole background. And I forgot about the hate that he and Cornette have on each other. But I just thought that, you know, Wrestling in Shadows at the time, when did that come out? 98, 99? So it was a little more fresh after it all happened. And yeah, I mean, Owen Hart, it may have been released like right after Owen died too. So there was a lot of, you know, interest on the Hart family for, you know, more reasons than one. And this one here, it was definitely a Reader's Digest version of Wrestling with Shadows. So if you haven't seen Wrestling with Shadows, this is probably good to see first. Then you can see Wrestling with Shadows for the, you know, actual whole part of it. I think that also, too,
Wrestling with Shadows, by the way, came out December 20th of 1998. So a full year after the Montreal situation.
And five months before Owen died.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, and then Shawn Michaels, too, you didn't hear from him in here. I would have liked to have heard from him 20 years later, 21 years later, because he didn't hear from him in Wrestling with Shadows. And they obviously patched up their differences. Bret Hart is back in WWE. He was in the Hall of Fame ceremony this year for Jim Neidhart. He had a match with Vince at WrestleMania. You know, he's back, you know. So I would have liked to have heard more from Shawn Michaels on this too. I forgot that Jerry Briscoe pulled Earl Hebner aside there. And I saw Earl Hebner's comments this week from Sirius XM Radio. Did you see that? Did you see what he said?
Please tell the audience what he said.
Earl Hebner said that Bret Hart was in on this. He thinks that they both knew it was a work.
So,
and I think Earl Hebner is still bitter at WWE.
So I think that Bret knew that something was going to happen, or there was the possibility that something was going to happen.
Yep.
But it's one thing to talk about it, but it's another to actually think that it's going to happen, because I think when Bret pulled Earl aside, he's like, oh, well, I've got Earl, so I'm covered in that way, so we can actually go and have a match.
And what about Scott Hall? Did you see his comments?
So my understanding is Scott Hall was put into that position to give a different perspective on it. That's not necessarily the position that he believes.
Okay.
But he was put in there to give a different perspective on it.
Hollywood at its best.
Because the original airing of the Survivor Series,
yes,
didn't have Bret Hart doing the WCW stuff. That was all on the Wrestling with Shadows documentary.
Right.
They went
black when Sean won.
I'll run through the sequence. Sharpshooter happens. Earl calls for the bell. Vince calls for the bell. Earl's out. They both look at Vince. Sean acts frustrated.
Walks
grabs up. The belt, gets out of there. Briscoe, I don't even think you see the spit at Vince.
No, you don't.
They do a one shot, a tight shot on Gerald Briscoe walking Sean out, and they fade to black with Sean holding up the title at the entrance, at the entryway.
Right, exactly.
And all the other footage is from Wrestling with Shadows.
Right, and you know, I didn't go back this week to listen to JR and King's commentary, but I was watching that show live.
Okay. They opened. They talked about it being the last time that Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels would ever compete in a WWF ring. And if I'm recalling it correctly, and I will get corrected on this, I remember being in the room with two of my other friends, and we all went, what?
Yeah.
Because it was just a different time. And then, of course, when the Screwjob happens, it's like, oh, well, I guess we got to watch Nitro tomorrow. And Nitro opened up with everybody with the Canadian flags and Eric Bischoff and Hogan and doing right. all that stuff. Now, there's dispute as to what actually was supposed to happen as far as going forward. Mm-hmm. If you read through, Meltzer's got the transcript because Brett essentially stooged everything off to Meltzer. It's funny because Jim Cornette is like, what, is Brett going to go to the newspaper and expose the business? And it's like, yep, Brett actually did that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because so there's this weird thing with wrestlers who lose championships. Like Bruno Sammartino for years and years and years was like, oh, well, when I was the champion, it was real. But, you know, when I had to lose it, it was, well, the promoter, and it wasn't on the up and up. So Brett right. did the exact same thing that everybody else in the olden days did. He went to the newspaper and was like, hey, this really wasn't on the up and up.
Right.
So he gave the producer of Wrestling with Shadows essentially gave the tape to Meltzer.
Right.
Who transcribed all of it.
And he gave you, yeah, the whole story on it.
And Vince essentially never asked Brett to lose the match.
Right.
On that day in Montreal.
Right.
But there were some legal documents that I've heard bantied about through various podcasts, whether it be Bischoff's or whoever's. Right. It's 21 years old. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But the plan was, they do a schmoz in Montreal, and Brett loses it in Springfield, Massachusetts, in a four-way match that has Shamrock, Undertaker, or Austin, and Shawn in it. And Shawn walks out of Springfield as the champion, but Bret Hart loses to Steve Austin or Shamrock. But they do a four-way elimination match, and that's how they get the belt to Shawn.
Right.
And Eric Bischoff had signed off on it. They're like, no problem. We won't. That's why Bret Hart didn't debut in WCW until December 10th, 11th, 9th, whatever it was in 97, was because they had worked out an extension so that they could actually get the belt off of Bret proper. But for whatever reason, Vince felt like...
Who didn't make a debut till what? Till when now?
Bret Hart didn't debut in on WCW until sometime in mid-December.
Okay, right, yes, on Nitro.
So that's whether right. that was 9th, 10th, 11th, whatever it was.
Yeah, and he was that special referee, too.
He became the special referee for the Eric Bischoff versus Larry Zbysko match.
Right.
And then was involved in the finish of the Sting-Hogan match, which was a whole pig orgy that we don't have to get into.
Yeah, it just was not a good mesh in WCW. It didn't work, you know? And I did the one thing that, you know, being so invested at the time of that Montreal screw job, watching the Survivor Series in 1997 live, you know, here I am in the eighth grade, Jimmy, and just a year before, I found out that Vince McMahon was the owner of the WWF.
I know, right?
Right?
Mind-blowing. You know?
Yeah, I was just shocked. So, you know, whole eye-opener and very invested with the commentary, because if you recall, too, this was the first one where it was Jim Ross and the King together.
There was no Vince McMahon in the middle.
Exactly. Vince's last one was the Hell in the Cell with the debut of Kane when he disqualified Undertaker and Shawn Michaels there. So that was the last, that was the first, maybe the second, it might have been the second pay-per-view, but definitely the first or second with JR and the King. So I was just so invested on JR, and to hear his reaction, like, what the hell? He didn't know what to think. That's where I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Because I'm riding the coattails of his commentary back to what we're talking about. You're invested in an announcer when I'm not invested in a guy like Todd Phillips or Michael Cole. So with Jim Ross to do that for me at Survivor Series 97, that tells a lot how shocked I was, because I couldn't believe what just happened, because Jim Ross told me he couldn't believe what just happened too.
Well, and I think the only people who knew were Vince, Jerry Briscoe, Sean, Hunter,
Earl Hebner.
And Earl knew right before he went out there. And Dave Hebner, because Dave is the one who packed Earl's car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although that's got to be... But that's another hole, right? If Earl found out as he's walking out, how does he have time to communicate to Dave to pack the car?
True. Well, maybe they just said, just get ready. You know.
And by the way, there are other wrestlers in the world who actually have the opinion that Scott Hall was portrayed to have,
well,
believing it was a work and the greatest work of all time.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
and Bret Hart enjoyed blurring lines, but I don't think necessarily that this was a blurred line.
Just go back there, rewind. How did Dave Hepner know? Because I don't think Vince and Briscoe and Patterson came out until mid-match. So he very easily could have told Dave Hepner behind the scenes, hey, go pack the car. Do it.
Or Gerald would have packed the car anyway, because it was Slaughter who was standing with Vince the whole time at ringside, if memory serves.
Okay. When he was the commissioner, more or less, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But also, so. Slaughter was a badass. He could take anybody.
Yeah.
And that was to protect Sean and Brett if they got into a real fight.
Good point.
Speaking of real fighters, CM Punk, we think, returned to wrestling. In an interview years ago, he said that he'd likely return dressed head to toe as a ninja. So apparently he did that. There was also a report that Punk did a jiu-jitsu tournament under his real name, Phil Brooks. Mm-hmm. CM Punk did a show in Wisconsin at a building he used to perform in, which he used to perform in it often when he was starting out, and it was the last show in the venue, and people who he's familiar with ran the show, including Ace Steele, longtime friend. So he came into the ring in the middle of the match in a sweatsuit, mask, hit a GTS, ran off. So people think it's CM Punk based on the interview and the GTS and all that stuff. Do I think it was CM Punk? Yes, I do. I think that he's back to wrestling full time? No, I don't. It wouldn't shock me to see Punk pop up here and there for his friends, but Punk has saved his money. Punk's been smart with his money. And if he does anything full time with wrestling, it's because he needs money. And I don't think he needs money.
Yeah, and the only way... Okay, so the money thing, you're going to have to throw a lot at him. That's for sure. And I think if WWE is really feeling it with ratings, if they're really feeling like we need that star power, we need to have, you know, someone back. And I'm sure they have that in their back pocket with John Cena eventually when he does break the world heavyweight title record, because right now he's tied. I think that, you know, with the loss of Brock Lesnar, you don't really have that star right now, the guy to go after someone. So if CM Punk comes back, yes, the internet will legitimately explode. Yes, people are going to be tuned in. You know that it's going to garner ratings. Here he is 2 years ago. He's on UFC. But you also have that option here for CM Punk now to really stick it to Vince and go to AEW for a match or two. I'm sure there's been discussions, but you know what? Good for him. He calls the shots. He can say what he wants. I thought last year he would have been at Chicago at the All In. Was it All In Labor Day weekend? Was it
All In? Yep.
Yeah, All In. Yeah, thank you. And it just seemed like he would have been there, but no. And every time WWE or any promotion rolls through Chicago, WWE especially, you can get it right on the TV. CM Punk's name is consistently chanted. So that's the only way I see him getting back there, if they throw an absurd amount of money at him, or even if the Prince really likes him too, you could always get him over there to one of the Saudi Arabia shows, Jimmy.
So if we're talking today, I don't think CM Punk ever works for Vince again.
Oh, no, he's out.
And it's
unless an absurd amount.
It's so I don't think that they can put a price on it. And here's why.
Okay.
If you listen to that Art of Wrestling podcast with CM Punk, they fired him on his wedding day. And he sounds so bitter about that. And some people, if he's as smart with his money as I think he's been, there's no price tag that you can put on him coming back. And furthermore, the amount of money that he would probably want to even consider going back there, they're not going to pay him anyway, because they didn't view him as a star on the same level as a Brock Lesnar, as a Rock, as a John Cena, as by their placement of him on the card when he was the champion. He was the semi-main event on the WrestleMania 28 show where it was Rock and John Cena. Mm-hmm. He was with Jericho in the title picture. the program build for that WrestleMania was all Rock and Cena.
Whole year.
And then when they did the rematch, it was CM Punk's the champion, Rock wants to work with a heel, so they had to flip Punk to a heel so that Punk could have his match with The Rock at the Royal Rumble and at No Way Out, Fastlane, whatever the pay-per-view before was.
Yep.
And Punk didn't factor into the John Cena Rock match. He was the Undertaker's opponent. They had the best match of the night.
Great
but then
match.
After he came back from that, he went away. He did the show with Jericho in Chicago. That would have been 2013 because it was the Bruins and the Blackhawks.
Correct.
In the Cup. Punk would have been in Boston had he not done the program with Jericho. And then he's in Money in the Bank, and Paul turns on Punk at Money in the Bank, and then Paul brings back Brock Lesnar for SummerSlam, where he loses again. So now you've had CM Punk, who's lost to The Rock, Undertaker, and Brock Lesnar on big shows against part-time wrestlers. So they didn't value Punk in that big money position.
Yeah.
So they're not going to now turn to him and pay him stupid money to be in that position because they don't view him as a main event superstar, a WrestleMania main event superstar.
Well, they don't view him that way, but they know what they can get. They know they can make money off the guy. And considering the state of WWE right now, that's where I would not rule it out if a ridiculous amount of money is thrown at him. And I don't think he would... I don't know.
I think your best chance is the Young Bucks call him and say, hey, can you do us a favor? Can you do us a one-off and for All Elite Wrestling and do it against us?
Yeah.
You know, CM Punk and Ace Steel against, or CM Punk and Colt Cabana against, well, Colt Cabana's not his friend anymore. CM Punk and Ace Steel against the Young Bucks. I think he'd do that. But that might be it.
Yeah,
but I don't. I think that's a long shot at best.
Do you put him in? I know some people do, which is very. I don't know. It's a little aggressive for me right now because his career was, you know, he had a good career in WWE as a main eventer. I thought it was a little short. You put him top 10 all time. Some people do.
So he's one of my top 5 favorites of all time.
He's great on the microphone.
As far as a, I don't know that I would put him top 10 as far as for his wrestling career.
I put him top 25.
I'd have to sit down and really do the list.
Yeah,
I have to put aside favorites and actual, like, this guy was either a great in-ring performer, he was a great promo, he drew money. I'd have to categorize it a little bit deeper. Is he a top 10 guy? I don't think he's a top 10 guy off the top of my head. I'd probably put him top 20, maybe top 15.
Yeah.
But that's just in my lifetime of watching wrestling, which is from 1987.
I would definitely put him top 10 microphone. Maybe even top 5 microphone of all time. He's up there.
Yeah.
Rock, Ric Flair.
Hogan, Rock, Ric Flair, John Cena.
Yep.
I mean, I'm at 4.
Austin wasn't bad on the mic.
Austin's 5.
Yeah.
And not necessarily in that order, but that's just off the top of my head.
They're all right there. Yeah.
So you've got a case.
Macho Man?
Exactly. Is he better than any of them? I don't think so.
Jake Roberts?
right? So now you're moving. Now he's at 8.
Yeah, it's hard. It's, I don't know, just a thought. I thought about this in talking, you know, to a few people that are huge CM Punk fans, huge.
Myself included.
Yeah, no, and that's great. I have no issue with that. They are just so in love with the guy that they have him top 10 all time. So just a conversation worthy of having.
Yes, and I actually kind of want to close this week with we did one question. We kind of worked it into the conversation earlier. Our friend Carl asked us a couple questions.
We like Carl.
We like Carl. Carl's a good man. He's a loyal listener to the podcast. He threw a bunch of questions at us. Thoughts on Taker on Undertaker and Kurt Angle being pulled from StarCast. Will either of us be attending StarCast or Double or Nothing? Are we excited for the Survivor Series Go Home Raw in Boston? Will we get Joe versus Cena at SummerSlam? I think Conrad said it best when he talked to our friend Justin from Sports Illustrated. No one wins when a talent is pulled from a promoted event. No. And especially when there's no reason other than WWE doesn't want him to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's the crime of it all, is that there are so many people who are excited to meet The Undertaker. Mike, you've had the pleasure of meeting The Undertaker. You were excited for it. Now WWE has taken that experience away from fans.
Right. And you know what? They also did that, too, at WrestleCast this past year. The top example I can think of was Brutus the Barber Beefcake. WrestleCon, excuse me. Yeah. WrestleCon, where he had his barbershop window ready to go. It was there. But they pulled him because he was at Access all weekend for WWE being a Hall of Fame inductee this year. You know, Undertaker, that scenario, it just leads me to believe that, okay, he wasn't specifically under contract with the WWE, but I think there is a deal in place to have him be a tag team partner with Roman Reigns when they go up against Shane McMahon and Elias at in Saudi Arabia. I think that's in the works over the next week or so. And then also, it's a disappointing thing to hear that, because that's a hard guy to get an autograph from. Very difficult. He doesn't do signings. I think Vince, you know, we talked about it back in February when he was announced for StarCast, and what we heard from backstage, there was some real animosity. Like, Vince was not happy with him being involved in that AEW, not an AEW promotion, but a cross promotion with them. And to hear that Kurt Angle was also pulled too, it doesn't surprise me 100%, because I still think he's under contract. And I will tell you this too, Jimmy.
So Undertaker supposedly signed a new deal.
There you go. Makes sense. And it all is coming together, because the day I left New York City in my hotel, getting my car, I saw Jim Ross with his handler, Raffy, who
we both know.
Yeah. Great guy. And he actually listens to the show. Shout out to Raffy. Did say that. Raffy and him were outside.
Wait a minute. He's a marketing guy. Of course he's going to say he listens to the show. If he really listens to the show, he'll send either me or you a message about it.
Yeah, he did mention, he said, I've listened to the show. Sorry. So I have. That's what he says. But the bottom line here is that
feel like that's a lie, but that's okay.
I see him and Jim Ross outside getting my car. I say hello to them. And just small talk for a couple of minutes. And I mentioned to Raffy, I said, I might be at StarCast in Vegas. He said, well, if you are, you know, let me know and all that. But he also, I mentioned to JR, I said, yeah, you got a pretty good show there. Undertaker's going to be there. And Jim Ross said, oh, I don't know about that. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
So here it is the day after. And then if you look at Michelle McCool's Instagram, here he is backstage. His daughter is right there with Vince McMahon in the gorilla position. He's getting the VIP treatment. Then he's back on Raw the next night. It all connects. It all connects that there's a new deal in place, and he was told, you are not going there with this contract. Out. So I'm not surprised. I feel bad for the fans who are looking forward to meet him. It is what it is, though. That's how it works.
Yep. So to answer the rest of Carl's questions, I will not be in Vegas. I'll be watching on pay-per-view. Mike is 20%. He might be in Vegas.
Yeah, I don't want to go. Let me know.
The go-home show for Raw, you might get another Becky Lynch invasion angle before Survivor Series. That would be a best-case scenario. But the go-home for SmackDown, the show to be at, is SmackDown, because Charlotte, AJ, and Daniel Bryan have all won championships on either the SmackDown a week before Survivor Series or 2 weeks before Survivor Series. I can't remember which, but SmackDown is the show to go to before Survivor Series, not Raw.
Although I will say this, though, with AJ Styles there and, you know, maybe a new injection of life to see how this all pans out over the next few weeks, you got to give it a chance. Go home shows, they're hot and cold. They don't want to get them too hot, too worked up and injured, obviously. So you're right. 2 weeks before is great, where you saw the change of the title. But I think a show in Chicago where Survivor Series is and they hold Boston to a high regard, you're in for a good show. So I'm not super excited about it now because we don't know what the storylines are going to be. We've got a long way to go, but I will be come Labor Day.
I would love to see Samoa Joe versus John Cena anytime, but I get the vibe that Cena might be done.
Wow.
And that's not done, but that's long matches might be in his past, and that's why he did what he did at WrestleMania with Elias. Mm. And the vibe that I get is John's mind is willing, but his body might not be.
Not accepting. Huh?
But I do miss John Cena week to week on WWE programming.
Yeah.
Mike, you have an event to promote?
Yes, that's right. Help out our good friends next week in Dedham, Massachusetts. That is, let's see, the date on that will be Friday, May the 3rd. And it is right here, Jimmy. It is NCW's May 3rd event, Northeast Championship Wrestling, 22nd anniversary. Jacob Jones, VFW, 84 Eastern Ave. Tickets are $10, available at the door. And thencw.com, my man Ryan, he is on commentary for that. You got Brett Ryan Gosselin. He'll challenge, I hope I'm saying this right, Osiris. And the NCW New England champion, Ace Mike Montero, defends against Riot Kellen Thomas. Those are good shows to go to. The little VFW Hall ones, Knights of Columbus Halls, all that. Those are fun shows. Friday, May 3rd, 7:30, Jacob Jones, VFW, Dedham, NCW reunion. Check it out. We'll even tweet it out on WrestleCast 95 for the YouTube promotion.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. From Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985, and you can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.